So this afternoon, we're looking at Genesis 4. We're looking at the character of Cain. And we see here that through all that he has done, he was really a man of bad choices. Now, if you recall, in studying these characters, we want to see ourselves in them. We want to see how unable we are to obey God in our own strength, how foolish we all actually are, and how we need to run to the cross, how we need to know the will of God. And in this character, we see the bad choices that sometimes we do make. And we make a lot of choices every day. You know, sometimes they are functional choices. What to wear, what to eat, what work to do first, when to sleep. But we also make moral choices. We choose what to watch on TV, whether or not to tell a half lie, whether to act sinfully when we get angry. So we make choices. But from time to time, we will make bad choices, choices against the will of God. And really, it is only by the grace of God that we can make good spiritual choices. When we stick close to the Lord guides us. When we are far from the Lord, we are far from His will and His help. So as believers, we need to obey the Spirit, and He gives us the victory. And when we don't, that's when we are tempted to make bad choices. And today we see this man who resisted the voice of the Spirit. That man is Cain. And really, the scriptures don't have very many nice things to say about him. If you take a look at Jude 11, these are the words. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now, I don't know if you know the meaning of the word woe, but it's a horrible word. It's a word that denotes trouble, right? So trouble is theirs that follow the way of Cain. So when we follow Cain in his path, there's trouble. Now, there are 4 points in today's message. Firstly, he chose to worship God wrongly. He chose to worship God wrongly. Secondly, he chose to multiply his sins. Thirdly, he chose to deceive God and himself. And fourthly, he chose to depart from God. So firstly, we see here that he chose to worship God wrongly. Now, we are a conservative church, and I'm not trying to repeat the same thing that traditional worship is good and contemporary worship is bad. That's not the point. But we do see in Scripture that God has a way to worship Him. He has a prescribed, He has a specific way in which we are to approach Him that He has formulated and described in His Word. Any other way is abomination to the Lord. And we see here that Cain worshiped God wrongly. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were banished out of the Garden of Eden, right? And they bore children. The first was Cain, the second was Abel. Now, if you recall, why were they banished out of the garden? Well, they had sinned, and God pronounced the curse. What was the curse? The curse for man is that he will labor all the days of his life and it will be hard. For women, right, she will know pain in labor. For the serpent, for Satan, he will be one day destroyed by the seed of the woman, by the woman's child. So I'm sure Eve, after having been banished from the garden, living a life which was not paradise, she would have yearned for that restoration. And what we see is when she bore her first son, she named him Cain. And the word Cain simply means to gain. Now, we could look at this and surmise that perhaps Eve thought that the seed of the woman who would restore all the blessings of God was Cain. And through Cain, she would gain back that inheritance of God. But we learn that he wasn't that chosen seed. And so she had another son, and she called him Abel, which basically means breath, right? Vapor, which appears for a moment and disappears. It could mean vanity. Could Cain have disappointed her, and that showed up in the name Abel? Could she have lost hope in God's promises? Well, nevertheless, these sons would have certainly been schooled in the worship of God. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they hid, didn't they? Now, why did they hide? They realized they were naked. They realized the glory of God had departed from them. And what they did was they made aprons out of fig leaves to cover themselves. Now, God came, and he realized that the works of men are impossible to cover the sins of men. So what did God do to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve? What did he do? He took the skins of animals to cover them. Now, do you find animal skins anywhere? You don't. Where do you get animal skins from? Animals. What do you have to do to the animal first? You have to kill it. So to cover the sinfulness of Adam and Eve, the nakedness of Adam and Eve, there had to be atonement. There had to be sacrifice. Now this is the principle that Cain and Abel would have learned. It was something that they were very familiar with, that there can be no approach to God, no righteousness without sacrifice, without being covered by something else's blood. Now, when it came time for Cain and Abel to worship God, what did they do? Well, verse 3, we learn that Cain brought an offering to the Lord in worship, which was from the ground, things that he had grown, vegetables and grain. Abel, on the other hand, according to verse 4, brought an animal to be sacrificed unto the Lord. And it was called a firstlings. It was, a newborn animal that he gave to the Lord. And what we see in verse 4 is that the offering of Abel was accepted. It says here, the Lord, in verse 4, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So God regarded it. He accepted it. It pleased him. But according to verse 5, God did not regard or respect or accept the offering of Cain. Now why do you think that God did not accept the offering of Cain? What was wrong with Cain's offering? Now take a look at Hebrews 11, verse 4. Hebrews 11, verse 4, we see a very important word, okay? Hebrews 11, verse 4 reads, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now what is that word that is important in Hebrews 11 verse 4? Faith, isn't it? You see, Cain came with the offerings of his labor, his good works. He brought it to God, thinking that God would be pleased by it. Abel brought an offering of life and death by faith, believing that this sacrifice prescribed by God would be pleasing to God. So from this passage, we learn several things of significance. Firstly, Abel's offering was by faith. Secondly, his offering was more excellent. Thirdly, it made him righteous. If you compare that, right, in Genesis 4:7, concerning Cain's offering, you see these words. if thou doest well, God was speaking to Cain, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So we learn several things here about Cain's offering. Now firstly, it was not pleasing. That's the word well, right? Thou hast not done well. It was not pleasing. Secondly, it was not accepted. And thirdly, it caused him not to have any sin removed. Sin lies at the door. Sin was still there, right? You know, some of us may remember from our childhood when your mother sweeps the floor, right? What does she do with all the dust and the dirt? Well, back then, right, in many Asian countries, your mother simply opened the door and swept the dust out, right, onto the neighbor's porch or something. But what we see here is that sin was still at their door. They could not remove it, right? If we take all this together, we learn that Cain's offering was not by faith, thus it was not pleasing, thus it was not acceptable to God, thus it did not make him righteous, but his sins remained with him. I think one thing we need to remember is that to worship God, there must be atonement. The Bible makes this very clear in Leviticus 7:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, this was something that Adam and Eve would have taught their sons. And even before Leviticus was written, this concept of worshiping God correctly through atonement was present. Everyone knew it. You learn in the book of Job, Job offered an offering for his children, right? The book of Leviticus wasn't written yet, but he knew to do it. Abraham also offered an offering. Noah, at the conclusion of the flood, offered an offering. So they knew how to worship God. It teaches us something. In order to come to God, we need faith and not our own efforts. Cain's offering was the effort of his hands, of his industry. It teaches us that good works can never save us. We need instead the merit of someone else. And all the Old Testament sacrifices point to Christ. Now Cain brought the works of his own hands. He was a farmer, as verse 2 tells us. Now we have to understand that there's nothing wrong with bringing grain to the Lord. If you know anything about the Old Testament sacrifices, you know that one of the sacrifices was the grain offering, right? That they brought cereal, and they would crush the cereal and make it into flour, and take the flour, mix it with oil, make cakes, and throw it upon the altar to be burnt to the Lord. So God accepts our good works. But one thing we have to remember is that the cereal offering was only done after the burnt offering was offered. So first, atonement. Sacrifice for your sins. You cannot save yourself by your good works. But after you have atonement made for you, you have been cleansed and justified, thereafter God accepts your good works. Thereafter he receives the grain and the offering and the cereal that you bring. You know, the Bible speaks about a worship that does not please God. Colossians 2:23 calls it will worship. It is worship according to your own will. It is worship that pleases you, but it is not worship that pleases God. Now this may take the form of false worship, right? You worship God incorrectly. You bring to God things that he has never prescribed in his word. You know, sometimes we always think, sincerity in worship is enough. Is sincerity in worship enough? It is not. God is concerned with the form. You know, when Jesus met up with the Samaritan woman, and the Samaritans worship on Mount Gerizim, right? The woman at the well says to Jesus, well, you Jews worship in Jerusalem, but we Samaritans, we worship, you know, on this mountain. And Jesus said, well, true worship is actually with the Jews. There's only one way of worshiping God, by the temple. But there will be coming one day when even the temple will be done away with, because Jesus would have fulfilled all the temple sacrifices, and he has become that atonement that we can all look towards. But whatever it is, there's only one way of worshiping God. All other ways is will worship. Now, so true worship takes the form of correct form and correct heart. So even if you have correct form, but you do not have correct heart, it is false worship. Now, how many of us, as, you know, Bible Presbyterians, come to church dressed all nicely, sitting in pews, using the hymn book and not using the overhead? And how many of us, you know, sing hymns, but not modern choruses, and we pride ourselves for being so traditional? But the form in itself, without the heart, means nothing at all. This was the attitude of the Pharisees. Right? In Matthew 16, Jesus chided the Pharisees and he said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So all of us, we may be Sunday school teachers, we may be office bearers, we may serve in various capacities, but if our hearts are far away from God, all the service that we render becomes nothing. So Cain made a bad choice by worshiping God wrongly. God had revealed what was the right way of approaching him, but Cain chose not to abide by it. Secondly, Cain chose to multiply his sins. Now, the Bible tells us that when we sin, we choose to sin. Romans 6, 13 to 14 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So for the Christian, we can choose not to sin. We can choose to yield our bodies as instruments of righteousness. So Cain chose, instead of obeying God, to obey himself. Now, when God rebuked him, Cain could have chosen to repent, but he didn't. Instead, we learn that he chose to be angry. Now, this is very different from the attitude of David. When David sinned with Bathsheba, the prophet Nathan came to him, told him a parable about a lamb that was taken, and David said, what a horrible person, who is this man? And Nathan said, thou art the man. And what did David do in response? He did not get angry, he did not defend himself, but instead he repented. And we see the words of his repentance in Psalm 51. But Cain was different. We see in verse 5 these words. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The word wroth here means to be burning with anger. He didn't do the right thing, but God rebuked him mercifully instead of destroying him. Cain did not see the mercy behind that rebuke and chose to be angry. He was filled with rage, and as a result of that rage, he killed Abel, right? And part of the reason for his anger was also envying. Abel offered the better sacrifice. And he was so displeased at seeing the success of his brother that his anger turned to hate. He was filled with malice, contempt, and disdain. And you see this in 1 John 3:12. 1 John 3:12, you see this envy. And this verse reads, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay Abel? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous." So you see here there was this envy. And because of his anger and envy, he resorted to murder. In Genesis 4:8, it says, "Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." Now in reading this, we may think, oh, maybe in a fit of anger, Abel was murdered by Cain. But because of the Hebrew language, we can tell that this was premeditated. Now, it was not immediately. It says very clearly that it came to pass. So a period of time had gone by. Cain had premeditated this, brought Abel to the field, and thereafter rose up and killed him. The word "rose up" speaks about slow, deliberate rising. Murder comes from the heart, anger and envy. If you let anger reign in you, it will show itself in its actions. And really, rage and anger is a sign of spiritual immaturity. You know, all of us get angry, right? It's true. But how many of us act upon that anger? In 1 Corinthians 3:2-3, it says very clearly here that rage is a characteristic of immaturity. It says in verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" So we learn that Cain did this in spite of the warning of God. Now what did God warn him? He came graciously to Cain to tell him that his offering was rejected. But he said in verse 7, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Now this is a tad difficult to understand. What does God mean here? "Unto thee shall be his desire." This simply means that sin desires to rule over you, Cain. And you must not give in to sin. You must have control over your sin, over temptation. So God had already told Cain very clearly, sin desires to rule over you. You've done wrongly, fine. But you still have sin. And if you don't get rid of the sin, sin will rule you. But what you must do is you must resist it. But despite this warning, what did Cain do? He chose to give himself over to his anger, and he multiplied sin. You know, folks, when we do not follow the ways of God, when we are rebuked, the thing that we need to do is simply repent. Cain is an example to us of what we frequently do, isn't it? When we are confronted with sin, when God reminds us that we have sin, we don't always repent, do we? You know, someone close to me, is an angry man, okay? He's a man filled with anger, and his wife is often terrified of him. One day, they were driving, right? This lady was driving. and she hit a bunk. And the man got so upset. Rage boiled in him because he expected her to drive perfectly, that he struck her. And thereafter, when he was confronted with his sin, his response basically was, "I've got diabetes. And so because I've got diabetes, sometimes I've got low sugar and high sugar. And so I was having low sugar that day, which made me angry." What nonsense is this? Right? What absolute nonsense and excuse to hit the wife. But this was basically Cain. He did not repent, but chose instead to multiply his sins. And thirdly, we see here that Cain chose to deceive God and himself. Rather than saying, "God, I'm guilty, I repent," when God asked Cain where Abel was, Cain denied knowing where Abel was. Now folks, no one can deceive God. Hebrews 4:13 tells us, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." God sees everything. This was the case with Ananias and Sapphira, right? They asked, you know, "Who stole from the Lord?" No one said anything. And, you know, Ananias and Sapphira were picked out. This was also the case of Achan, right? When they failed to capture the city of Ai, Joshua asked, "Who among you is the one? Quickly, right? Destroy the things that you have stolen. Bring it forward." There was chance given. There was opportunity given for repentance, but that opportunity was not taken. And in the end, Achan was judged. You know, we lie to God in a variety of ways. And one way, of course, is when we say we love our when we say we love God but hate our brother. And this really was the case with Cain. You know, he brought his offerings to God, albeit false offerings, but he hated his brother. You know, it's not easy, I admit, to love certain people. Very soon, I'm sure you will probably realize that there are certain parts of me that are fairly much unlovable. You know, and I'm sure when I get to know you, you know, I'll discover the same thing. Right? But you know, God's people are all to be loved. You know, there's a story about this little girl by the name of Rosemary. And she had this doll that was given to her, you know, when she was 2. But now she was 6. And she still loved that doll and carried that doll wherever she went. And by the time she was 6, you know how kids are with their toys, right? By the time she was 6, that doll was filthy. You know, strings were holding its arm to the body. You know, threads were holding the head to its body as well. But she refused to throw away that doll. And you couldn't do anything to that doll. If you were to clean it and wipe it and wash it, it'll probably be tattered. But if you let her carry it around without washing it, it'll probably fall apart. But if you love Rosemary, you will love that doll as well. You see, Cain came to worship God. It was false worship. He was angry. There was unrepentance. And it showed that he really did not love God, the God that he worshiped, because he did not love his brother. He tried to deceive God, but he only deceived himself. He thought of himself as something that he wasn't. And Galatians 6:3 says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." What's wrong with my offering? It's perfectly fine. But God thought otherwise. Now we may think that we are faithful by the many things that we do, you know, but we are only deceiving ourselves when we do not see what we truly are. And that was basically Cain's problem. Now fourthly, Cain chose to depart from God. And you see this in verse 16. And it reads, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." Now, we all know that Cain chose to depart from God long before he dwelt in the land of Nod. He chose to depart from God the very moment he chose to worship God wrongly. And the very moment he chose to sin, he already turned his face from God. And there are temporal consequences of sin. Verses 11 to 12 of Genesis 4, it says, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." So we see here that, you know, Cain would no longer succeed as a farmer, that he would be banished to a life of wandering. And the lesson, I suppose, that we see here is that sin causes us to be alienated from people and from God. It causes harm to us. But what we learn about Cain is that even then, he had no remorse for his sins. If God had said, "You're banished, right? You will no longer succeed as a farmer," what should have been the response of Cain? "Oh God, forgive me. Let me come back to the garden. Let me receive your favor again." But what was the response of Cain? "Oh, if I go, people will kill me." His response was still about himself, as it had always been. He was worshiping God the way he wanted to. That's will worship. When God rebuked him, he refused to repent, but chose to multiply his sins to fulfill his own lust, his own sin, his own envy, his own anger. When God banished him, there was no repentance even then, but fear for himself. So Cain was selfish, and it all started with his choice of worship. You know, if I could kind of draw us back to the theme, at least of this year, to increase in the knowledge of God. There is a way that God has prescribed for us to live our lives, for us to worship Him. And if we do not, we see that it is will worship. And as it goes here in the case of Cain, he refused to worship God correctly, refused to repent, refused to soften his heart. And what we see here is that sin hardened him. Folks, we're faced with daily choices in our lives. The choice to love God according to his ways, to worship him according to his ways. We have the choice to resist temptation, the choice to put off sin and to put on holiness. When anger comes to us, we have the choice of not acting upon our anger. When sinful thoughts come to us, we have the choice of not entertaining those thoughts and multiplying those thoughts. We have the choice to be honest, to repent, to make restitution. We have that choice to follow God. And only when we increase in that knowledge and experiential knowledge of God, then will it be well with us. And so I really, as you know, really as your new pastor, I don't know all the struggles of your life. I have my own too, right? And this is just a reminder to us that our lives, God has saved us for us to worship Him with our lives. And that can only be done when we worship Him according to His Word alone. And that only comes by running to Christ, who is our atonement. We cannot live our lives based on our own understanding, our own knowledge, our grains and cereal and offerings. We cannot. God cannot accept it. But God accepts us in Christ as we worship Him, as we run to Him. A life of repentance, a life of humility, only then will he thereafter accept all our good works. So may we make those right choices. Let us pray. Eternal, gracious Father in heaven, you have loved us with an everlasting love. You have given Christ unto us to be the propitiation for our sins, to make you, the judge of the universe, merciful to us. And we thank you, Lord, that he has reconciled us to you, we who were once your enemies. Father, we pray that as we live our lives in worship, that whatever we do will be prescribed by your word, that we will live our lives carefully, making the right choices, following you only. And Father, we know that despite the wrong choices we have made and will make, yet, Lord, you have redeemed us already, and you will guide us. And even all the wrong choices we make in your sovereignty, O Lord, we know that they work to our good. So help us, Lord, to eschew evil, not to trust in ourselves, but always to look to Jesus in all that we do. We commit ourselves into your hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close by singing. In Jesus' name, I want a principle within me to be our prayer. 3